Greetings, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Nixendoig Kokuels Show. My name is Nixendoig Kokuels, the namesake for this here podcast. For today, I've been looking at some old school games and new games that fit an old school style. Now, some of these I've played quite some time ago, while others, those were recent. Anywho, anybody looking to play games that don't require an internet connection and microtransactions, or what should be called macrotransactions, should take a look at older games. For these games, I'll focus on releases from the mid to late 90s to now that fit an old school theme, especially since nowadays we don't have that mindset anymore. No, instead, it's predatory monetary decisions made by suits who only see green, with greed wider than Jet the Hog's ego mixed with Adventure Sonic the Hedgehog's sassiness. That's how I see it, at least. The first game we'll be starting with are the FPS Classics from 1999, which are the original Unreal Tournament, herein as UT99, and Quake 3 Arena, or just Q3A. Both games were released 15 days apart, with Epic Games beating its software with UT99. These are two separate games with different mechanics, movement systems, and weapons unique to their identity, especially since they were some of the best FPS games of the arena shooter genre at the time. I've actually played both games myself, and they are quite good in their own ways, holding up years later with content made by the community to modify the games. However, unlike Epic releasing their engine, the Unreal Engine, under a free software license, id would do just that in 2006, license being GPL2, the newest version of the license at the time. This release of the Quake 3 source code, id Tech 3, eventually led to a project I talked about in the now dormant podcast Computing Comparisons, that being Open Arena, which surprisingly had a small but dedicated community of players. Open Arena is from 2006, made using IO Quake 3, a source port of the Quake 3 engine. Though Open Arena stopped production in 2012 with version 0.8.8. being its latest version. Back on topic, Unreal Engine is a 1999 arena shooter that has a story mode where you take the role of a character who participates in the in-universe tournament of the same name. Unlike Quake's movement scheme, which is used in many FPS games today, the movement in UT99 is a dodge-based system that is equally as hard to master as the movement tech in Q3. However, some of the same mechanics, like rocket jumping for example, are in both games. UT99 also has a wealth of mods and modifiers, called mutators, modes, what am I talking about, which would become standard in the games to come in this genre. I'm personally quite a fan of Instagib, though I first learned of it in Xenotic, a 2011 title, with UT-style weapons but Quake movement, based upon Nexwee's classic from 2005 to 2009. Good times. On a side note, Instagib is essentially the one-shot, one-kill mode, where if you get hit by a player's shot, it's an instant gib. That's where the name comes from. Now, to the realm of Quake 3 Arena, the third mainline title in the series by id Software, now owned by Microsoft through Bethesda as their proxy. Despite this, the id guys had made a solid Quake game, but not your usual adventure-style FPS, like in the first two titles. Instead, they opted to go in a similar vein to the arena shooters at the time of the mid to late 90s. This one, you really need to master the movements for the game in order to become a pro. I would imagine the pro tournaments for this game would have been intense, especially with the pro movement strats everywhere, especially how the weapons are utilized. In light of that, Quake 3 is essentially and easily a rock-solid shooter with good movement tech to master alongside a decent selection of weapons, modes, and characters you can represent yourself with. Unlike UT99, there are really no mutators, though some of the ones in UT99 were added in open arena, like Instagib, for example. I personally love FPS games with Instagib, which is not really used nowadays. However, I have some more FPS games to go on to, so I won't waste my time here. Going back to 1993, we see Doom being released. For those who aren't aware of it, this was the original revolution of an FPS game, where for some time, any FPS after would be called a Doom-like game until things strayed from being similar in playstyle to Doom. This is a 2D FPS that was found to be revolutionary at the time of its release and influencing the future of FPS games to come. Now, this is an adventure-style game that piggybacks off of the code found in Wolfenstein 3D's engine, which would eventually be called id Tech Zero. As we know, Doom uses the id Tech 1 engine, whereas Doom 2 would use the id Tech 2 engine. But I won't get into that. When I'm talking about the OG Doom, I'm talking in particular about the 1993 title, Doom. That out of the way, this is a technologically advanced FPS for the time, as there were FPS games before it, as mentioned earlier. What made Doom stand out was how optimized it was, enough to run it on literally anything, from a PC like mine, to even a pregnancy test, to even a silly Texas Instruments calculator. Doom could run on anything because of the optimization. One technique that was used is something called binary space partitioning, which splits 3D objects into smaller, more manageable ones. On another side note, this technique is also used in a window manager I used for some time, called BSPWM, and is used in RiverWM, a Wayland port of BSPWM. This is for different reasons, as it's not 3D. For those unaware, when I say window manager, I am talking about a keyboard-driven desktop environment. Anyway, Doom 2 would be one of the most customizable Doom games in existence, as most megawads and other community-made mods today, like Eveternity, Waffle House, My House, and some other well-known WADs, are usually using Doom 2, targeting the MBF-21 compatibility standard. MBF has two meanings. Nowadays, Mike Bravo Foxtrot 21 is modder's best friend, based upon Marine's best friend, or MBF, from way back in the day. Unlike original, MBF 21 aims to fix a lot of bugs and minor issues in Marine's Best Friend. Keep its features compatible, make modifications of hard-coded shenanigans easier, add map features, allow for easy changes to adapt to existing source ports and tools, and also maintain the old-school flavor of Boom and MBF. If you want a source port recommendation, I'd say anything based upon DSDA Doom would be your best bet. If you want to mess things up without a Boom-based deal, then GZ Doom is also good. As I've used that for a specific mod pack I showed on Kokubel's Nation. FPS games out of the way, next will be racing games, which I've been getting myself into recently. Tomorrow on Kokubel's Nation, I have myself playing Dr. Robotnik's Ring Racers, which is essentially a sequel to Sonic Roboblast 2 Kart, but it's SRB 2 Kart on steroids. It's not a pick-up-and-play title at the least, but is quite extensive in its mechanics. Ring Racers is a kart racer made in a heavily modified id Tech 1 or Doom Legacy engine. However, it's based upon the codebase for Sonic Roboblast 2, which is a solid fan-made 3D platformer based upon the Sonic the Hedgehog franchise. However, in light of the cancellation of SRB 2 Kart, which I hadn't really heard of, D3R as I would call it, is much harder to master, as the mechanics in that game are out of this world from some of the most talented id Tech 1 developers in the Sonic scene. There is a wealth of races to participate in, and the online is apparently pretty good. I should mention that it's a game from 2024, and yet I had no clue about it until I looked it up recently. And I was looking up SRB 2 Kart, since I thought there would be a 1.7 release or 1.8 release by now. Nope, not at all. I built D3R from source, and I'm surprised at how well made the game is, building on top of SRB 2 Kart, adding a ton of things to it. Quality of life fixes, accessibility things out the wazoo, new characters, including Sega characters that don't get love at all, like Vector Man and Echo the Dolphin. That I'm all in for, especially since Kart Crew, Crew with a K, had done some fantastic jobs building upon what they already know from SRB 2 Kart. Unfortunately, I'll need to do a part 2, which is coming next week. Despite this, each episode is released every Wednesday afternoon at 1600 hours uniform. That is 4 p.m. Pacific time. You can listen to this podcast on YouTube, Wavelake, and any podcast 2.0 catcher like Podverse or Fountain. You can grab the RSS feed on YouTube if your podcast player doesn't support it in the search results if needs be. And it is the Wavelake RSS feed. That said, this was the Nixendoy Kokubel Show for this week. Thank you, and good night.